Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. He's Adam Hairhawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we've got a lot of stuff we have to do today and touch on today. In the a lot of sports stuff, certainly, we have to get into with a big old brawl last night in the NHL, which we will get into momentarily. Tigers are in action right now, and it looked like, well, they're not going to make it out of this one. It was like things were not looking particularly good early on, but the Tigers have now pulled ahead in extra innings. Top of the 11th, they're up 4-3, one batter out, and we have men on second and third. So hopefully we'll have some more good news here shortly, and Carson Kelly, the hero of Monday night's game with the home run in extras. Well, he's got a chance to do it again here. He's 0 for 4 on the day today, but we saw his heroics on Monday night. Fingers crossed to get something good like that again. We'll keep you posted as best we can over the course of the afternoon of that one. Of course, there's another game being played tonight. And then tomorrow. Oh, I'm so excited for tomorrow, Adam. You have no idea. Opening day. It's the most wonderful time of the year, truly. One of my two high holy days of the year, other than, you know, St. Pat's.
Well, usually you just go walk around Detroit. You really don't go to the game.
No, we've never gone. So, Lapeer Main Street manager James Tiberius Alt and I have been going down to Detroit on opening day for, I believe this will be year 11, 12, 20. I'm not really sure. But we've been doing this well over a decade at this point. And we bar hop. The only rule has ever really been that we don't pay cover to get in anywhere, ever. Like, if you're charging cover at the door, not interested. See you later.
Yeah.
But we've never actually gone to the game. Well, thanks to our very good friend, Eddie Fury, up at Sand Lake Broadcasting Company's WMIC and WTGV.
Yeah.
We're going to the game this year.
Nice.
And we're going to be up in the press box, James and I, tomorrow.
Nice.
And you'll actually get to hear me and, you know, maybe Jim will be in the background. He might say something. You never know. On 97.7 WTGV, where you can already, of course, hear Sessions weeknights at 11.
That's right.
But we'll be on there from 9 till noon tomorrow, live from the press box at Comerica Park. So I'm, as you can imagine, very, very much looking forward to this. I'm excited.
Nice.
I'm like, this is going to be a good time. And wow, once again, Carson Kelly comes through in top of the 11th inning, drives in, single drives in two runs. Tigers now up 6-3.
Wow.
I didn't expect this was going to go this way, this quickly.
Now, is this one of those makeup games that they had to postpone?
Yes, because it got rained out Tuesday and Wednesday, so both of the games being played today are makeups from earlier in the week. There was not originally a game scheduled to happen today at all. So that's currently going on, and well, I think it's safe to say the Tigers are probably going to walk away with the W here today to extend the winning streak to 5-0. The Mets would be 0-5 if the current score holds.
Nice.
So great way to kick off the year, and they get to play the Oakland A's tomorrow. You know, the poverty franchise of the league. So you like to hope we're finally going to see some.
Yeah, I look at their schedule, and it looks like they're all winnable games. I mean, where in the schedule do you think they're going to get their first real test?
Well, I believe after Pittsburgh, if I remember correctly, because you got Oakland next for that opening home series. And then you've got two games set against the Pirates because somehow always they manage to shoehorn a series in there against those guys.
Yeah, I get to thinking it was right around the time the Wings, it's a lot like the Red Wings, and Penguins, when they had that back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals, I think that's when MLB is just like, well, let's try to make Detroit and Pittsburgh a rivalry. In baseball.
They really did. Also, I was wrong. It wasn't Carson Kelly. Gio Urshela with the single that drove in the two runs to put it 6-3 tied.
We will apologize to Carson Kelly.
Yeah. Minnesota's probably going to be the first real test. Like, they're at least expected to contend for the division. That's been very much the case going into, you know, coming out for the offseason.
Right.
That it is probably going to be either Minnesota or Cleveland's division to lose. Minnesota currently sitting at 3-2. They have played thus far they've got Cleveland starting starting today, 4 o'clock, they'll be taking on that team. They so far have played the Royals and the Brewers. Royals, of course, are expected to be trash.
Sure.
So nothing really there. But
Brewers are always kind of like a nice surprise. We never know what we're going to get from them until until like July.
Right. They split that series with them, and then KC, the team he expected to be like the worst team in the division, second worst team probably in baseball,
and
they hung 11 runs on Minnesota in that opening series.
Really?
The last game of the series.
I'm shocked.
11-0 that one. So
wow, 11-0. I mean, 11. But then to shut him out?
Yeah, a shutout and 11 runs against a poverty franchise like the Royals. Yeah, maybe Minnesota won't be as much
so
of
Detroit
a...
Detroit owes Kansas City a fruit basket? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yes. And then, so I would say your first real challenge is going to be the Texas Rangers. Because right now, the West is fairly open. The Angels are currently sitting in 4-2. Does anyone expect that that's going to last more than like another 2 weeks? I don't. Texas very much has a shot to be in that division going forward. I mean, they've got a damn solid lineup of cats over there. You've got, you know, up very strong up the middle with Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. Seager so far on a 364 tear to start the season. You've got a relatively young crew there, certainly, but a veteran presence in Bruce Bochy, their manager, who the longtime San Fran guy who won a World Series or something over there. And, well, they won a World Series last year, as you may also recall, the Rangers. So.
Oh, yes, their first ever, which shocked me.
I know. You would think somewhere in the Ron Washington era that they would have won one, but no.
I
think
that wasn't the case.
No.
Yeah, I mean, looking at their schedule, I mean, they're doing – it's kind of apple picking at this point, but, between the Rangers, Twins, and then you got the Rays coming up, they've got a – We're going to see what team we have.
We really, truly are. That four-game series about Texas, I think, is going to tell you the most about where this team really is in a general sense, as opposed to just where you stand within your horrific division. Minnesota, I think you have a four-game set against them at home and then a three-game set against them on the road. I think you can at least split those series. Like, you should be able to come away. I'd say you should at least be able to go 4-3 against them this month. Texas, if you can hold your own against them, okay, then you got me sold.
Now we're having a conversation.
And then they go to KC, which is, as we established, trash.
Bye week.
Basically. And then they go to St. Louis, who are currently sitting in the bottom of the NL Central, for whatever that's worth. Again, these things are always subject to change. That division can, realign itself real quick.
The Cardinals will always surprise you.
But you basically got to start the season a handful, like a good 11 or so freebies before you got to start worrying about division rival that could, get their you-know-what together and last year's World Series champs.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very interesting to see where this team is able to, how they're able to respond to that. Whether the pitching is going to be as good as advertised, whether the offense is going to be able to redeem the lack of action in the offseason in free agency, and whether or not you really can at least hang with a team that is, really the cream of the crop in MLB right now. But we'll talk plenty more about that tomorrow morning from 9 to noon over on 97.7 WTGV.
Yep.
Right now, we're going to hit a break. We'll come back and we'll hockey it up a little bit. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Cross is at your local alternative Solid State Radio. So I know you actually were just watching it when I came in.
Yeah.
The big old brawl from last night in the Devils-Rangers NHL game.
Oh, it's got to be the fight of the year so far.
Well, a full-on line brawl.
Between the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. I mean, here's two teams that really should have a rivalry. They're so close in proximity, and they always seem to either suck or do well at the same time.
Right.
So now you put this guy, this Matt Rempe, into the mix. I don't know if I like him. I don't know if I'm supposed to like him. He's kind of...
You're definitely not supposed to like him.
He's kind of the villain. He's become a cement head kind of guy. When was that last game, the previous game against the Devils, where he ended up getting a four-game suspension because
So we got to go back a little earlier than that, even, because there were, I believe, there were two games in which there was an issue with him.
Well, maybe I'm joining two games at once here, because there was one where
there was one where he hit a guy in the head.
Yeah, flying elbow into the head.
And then I believe someone tried to fight. McDermott from the Devils tried to fight him.
Yep, he didn't do anything about that. But
and that was his first shift.
Yep. I mean, the guy is trying to make a name for himself as being this cement head, not an enforcer, because an enforcer, you know, so if there's a problem, yo, he'll solve it. But it's
check out the hook while the DJ revolves.
Yeah. But Rempe he wants to be. I don't even know what player he wants to compare to.
I
Sean Avery kind of thing.
Kind of. So he likes to take cheap shots at guys. Like
very.
So
yeah.
Third NHL game of his career, he got a match penalty for a hit to the head of Nathan Bastian.
Yes. Yep.
And that one got him suspended for four games. Now, at the time of that game, there was a Devils player who very much wanted a piece of this cat. Like, he was very... Curtis McDermott.
Yep.
He's more or less as close to an enforcer as they get on the Devils. And he tried to go at him that night, and Rempe wasn't having it. In fact, waving bye-bye to him.
Mm-hmm.
On his way out. It's at that point, I feel like, where it was sealed. Like, at some point, this is now going to have to happen.
Oh, you created a storyline. They had... Curtis McDermott. They had him. They were interviewing him after the game, and he's like, "I have no respect for the guy. I've lost all respect for him." And he comes in the league and tries to do that. It's just bad blood boiling. And so last night, you have they're going to probably meet each other again.
I don't think so. Like it might only be three games.
Was that the last game? They're in the same division. That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, so are we and the Lightning, and that doesn't seem to matter.
No, that's true.
Because we only played them three times.
Yeah, point
taken. NHL scheduling is weird, man.
Really. And they'll probably have us playing the Columbus Blue Jackets six times.
So both teams sent out their goon lines to start the
night. Yeah, they knew exactly what they were doing because they had those two lined up with each other. The ref is going over there. He's talking to them. And Curtis McDermott, he kind of takes a step back. Ref takes center ice. He's looking at the guy's about to take the face off. He's like, "All right, let's try to get through this without a problem." Sure enough, he drops a puck, and it wasn't Kempe and McDermott. It was some other group over there. They started fighting, and then everybody pretty much just picked a partner and started battling it out. Now that's very important to note later on. But yeah, McDermott and Rempe. They go at it, and wow, that was a brawl. McDermott landed a couple good ones on Rempe, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I already like seeing this guy just get his, you know what,
he gets jacked right in the jaw. But
yeah, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, but the first fight that happened, that was the initial fight, and under NHL rules, any other fight is considered against the rules, and so eight players, 2 seconds into that game, eight players get kicked out of the game. And we're talking about Jacob Trouba was kicked out, JT Miller for the Blue Shirts, he was kicked out. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Also, I hate that that's a thing now, by the way, that everyone gets kicked out of the game after they start, like... I swear, that's a relatively new thing, is it not?
Yeah, relatively in the sense that, I mean, it's a 100-year league, but, I mean, yes. I mean, in the last maybe 15, 20 years, they call it about the third man in.
Yeah.
Because what would happen is, for all you people that love the old days of the Red Wings, it would be a situation where Probert would be getting into a fight with somebody, and then as the ref is taking that guy off, Koser would come in and get a couple licks in.
Yeah.
So that all transpired. Then you got the coaches. You got Laviolette and
Travis Green
jawing at each other. Like they didn't know what was happening. Come on.
Like, everybody.
They knew.
You didn't send out your goon line to not have exactly what happened happen.
Right.
You knew damn well what was going on.
And then poor Darren Pang, a little 5'2" Darren Pang sitting there. Because we're watching a still out there. He's just standing in the middle going, oh, God. I've seen this glass come down.
I'd like that to not happen while I'm in here.
Mm-hmm.
It just the Rangers apparently just have the market cornered on just cheap shot artists and like because I mean Trouba's been certainly accused of that in his time.
Yes, he has.
Rempe is already
I don't know him of anything else. I mean, the guy could like save an orphanage or like save a couple puppies out of a pond, but I'll just be like, he's known as being a goon.
Yeah, like there's just no way around that at this point. You've created this reputation for yourself. Rightly or wrongly, and I would certainly assess rightly. And that's
we're talking about them.
Yeah. Like, the blue shirts definitely going to have a target on their back come the playoffs. I mean, already bad enough because you're most likely going to win the President's Trophy and have that curse hanging over you. But now everyone's going to be gunning for you because of nonsense like this.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, because a lot of players just don't like that. Because it's not like he... I mean, I've heard people say, well, he's like a Bob Probert. No, he's not.
No,
he's not like Bob Probert. Bob Probert would wait for that kind of stuff to happen and then go after that player. This guy is an antagonist. He's a goon.
If anything, McDermott's more the Probert type.
Yeah, and he stood up to him quite well, even after Rempe was waving goodbye and going up to the jersey bench and trying to jaw at them. And, you know, he showboating a little bit, almost doing the Ty Domi kind of, I got the championship belt kind of thing, back in his Probert scrapping days. The kids just, that team needs to reel him in. I mean, Laviolette's got to sit him down. Obviously, they like it. And the entire Madison Square Garden is chanting Rempe, Rempe, so, you know.
Right, I tend to think that that's the reason he's there.
Yeah, I know. I know I hate it and I love it at the same time because here we're spending 8 minutes talking about this cat and he'll probably be out of the league in about two years. I'll give it 2 years tops.
Think it'll be that soon, eh?
Yeah, I mean, he'll play for about four other teams since after that.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, we're like, oh, wow, that's a lot of penalty minutes, a lot of get kicked out of the league, a lot of suspensions, and you haven't really put the puck in the net there, bud.
Yeah, he's got 2 career points in his 14 games played, a goal and assist. Hmm? 69 penalty minutes.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's not going to last very long, but he's certainly a fan favorite with the Rangers, it would seem. And he's going to be a guy who's going to have a target on his back forever. Also, you know who else is probably loving this, though?
Who?
Gary Bettman, because you have a fight, you know, a real rivalry now developing between two, well, one really strong and one fairly strong team.
They're separated by a tunnel.
Both basically in the New York media market.
Yes.
You know he's just sitting home rubbing one out just thinking about that right now.
No, here. Oh, and he's going to take to the camera, and his bobblehead is going, I think this is terrible. I think they need to reel it in. And off camera, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, the New York teams are relevant. There's a rivalry I could focus on now.
Yeah.
Someone get the Kleenex.
Rempe, Rempe, Rempe. Sorry. Go to commercial.
Oh, it's Big Rack at Your Local Alternative Solid State Radio. Boy Genius at Your Local Alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. Oh, can't wait for game 2 of the Tigers to start. I'm pulling for this, like, the 6-0 coming into tomorrow opening day.
Undefeated going into opening day. That is fantastic.
Meanwhile, the Mets could potentially be 0-6, and that just makes me laugh so hard. They tried so hard. They really did.
Oh, bless their hearts.
I mean, it doesn't do me as much good as it would do to see, you know, the Yankees starting out that way. Like, that will always, like, take precedence, obviously.
But something tells me if the Yankees went 0-20, I think I would just say all the other 29 teams, they would just all get along. It's almost like, hey, you know what? We lost. Hey, you know what? But that's all right, man. The Yankees are losing too. Hey, that's right, brother. Anyway, we'll see you next time. How about next game? You win. All right, sounds cool, man. He's just really
We found world peace because the Yankees are 0-20. Wouldn't that be something? The answers have really just been sitting in front of us this whole time, and we just
the GM for the New York Yankees gets the Nobel Peace Prize. He accepts it in Sweden, just throws it down. This is bullshit. Sorry.
We wouldn't get that lucky, though, because we never do.
It's a Nobel Prize for Peace goes to the general manager of the New York Yankees.
Meanwhile, in reality, they're 6-1, and the rest of the world is united in its hatred for them.
Yeah, right.
As that part of it, at least, as it should be, not necessarily the being 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like so far the NL East is kind of, or AL East is starting to right things. Like the Yankees and the Sox are back atop things. Toronto and Tampa are in the cellar. Like, oh, you know,
can we stop with the Sox? I mean, come on.
I knew at some point that this is how things were going to go, and eventually the Yanks and the Sox would again take their positions atop that division,
yeah,
and above ESPN's like priority list for everything. But God, I was enjoying watching Toronto be good. I was kind of even enjoying watching Tampa do what Tampa does. Hell, I didn't even mind seeing Baltimore get good for a brief shining moment.
When was that? Was that on a Thursday?
It was last year, man.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I think every team, yeah, they won the division last year. Like,
that's right. Yeah, I forgot about the Orioles actually doing well.
Everybody does. Don't feel bad. Like that was was the year that every team in that division made the playoffs except for the Yankees and the Red Sox. And they'll be like, we're not letting this happen again. Rob Manfred's on the phone like, you cannot let this happen again. Do you understand?
Listen, we're going to let you win. You're going to win the division. Just go ahead and start printing off that banner. But damn it, you have to earn it. Yeah, you have to do something. Make it look like you're trying.
Can I at least make it look like you're trying? My Rob Manfred's like your J. Jonah Jameson. I love it.
Give me pictures of Spider-Man. The people in your bullpen are playing Angry Birds during the game. Tell them to knock it off.
Here's Destroy Boys at Shadow and Breaking Down at Solid State Radio. Nirvana, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. That's so I'm told anyway.
So back in my playing days, I was sitting in the office of the IROC nightclub in Detroit, and we were sitting there. I was talking to Steve, who was booking all the bands, and he was your quintessential 80s guy. I mean, he was buff. He always had his shirts ripped open. He had a big old hairy chest and big long hair. Great guy. Great guy in the room. Always got us a pitcher of beer every time we played. And he was talking about, like, yeah, it's just this business. You just never know. I had this band come across my desk, Nirvana. And I kind of read articles, and this is like pre-internet, so he couldn't bring up YouTube or anything like that.
Right.
And he heard like they smashed their instruments, and he says, "I can't have that in my club," so I bypassed him.
God, that man just kicking himself for the rest of time.
Well, I think that was pre-Grohl, so I think that was their original drummer. So Novoselic and Kurt Cobain was still in there,
right?
But yeah, he says, "Nah, I'm not interested in that."
Yeah, that's one you really wish you had back. But what are you gonna do? I guess to '80s hair metal bands. Which, speaking of, do you see who's fronting Skid Row now?
Yeah,
Lizzie Hale apparently.
Lizzie Hale, and which Hailstorm did a
didn't they cover "Slave to the Grind"?
A very faithful version of "Slave," a fantastic version of "Slave to the Grind,"
yeah,
which
is
one of my favorite Skid Row tunes ever.
It's arguably their best song.
Yeah, and she's because Eric Granwolf or something like that. He was with the band for a while, but the idea of touring, he's just not about it. Quite frankly, I just think with Skid Row is they can't hold on to singers. That was their fifth one.
Fifth or sixth? Yeah, I guess he claims he's got like some like major health issues that aren't going to allow him to tour anymore.
So maybe I'm trying to read in too much into it, but
I mean, it's easy to do with that band. Like, they do run off so many people. Like,
well, there's the bass player. It's always the bass player, Rachel Bolan. I think that he wanted to be the main focus of a Skid Row. He always has. And then when they first kicked off in 1989 with their debut album, Sebastian Bach became, because he's a pretty boy and he's got the great voice.
Well,
and so
yeah,
so all of a sudden it was just like, Sebastian Bach and the rest of the band, and the rest of the band didn't like that, especially Rachel Bolan. So it's just like, let's not, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much of the weeds.
So to be fair, anyway, but be fair to him,
yeah.
To be fair to Sebastian Bach,
to be fair,
the bass player was never going to be the focal point in a band ever. That's not how it works. Like, no one cares about the damn bass player, and I say that as a bass player.
Gene Simmons, Nikki Sixx. Anyway, please go ahead.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't. But here's the difference. Gene Simmons actually sings a bunch of their material. Nikki Sixx writes all of Motley Crue's stuff. I don't believe.
Point taken.
Now, I don't believe that's the case that Rachel Bolan does. Like, doesn't Dave? Dave Sabo write most
Dave
of their
Sabo
stuff?
And Bolan, they team up. They wrote. They claim that first record was written 85% before Sebastian Bach came in, which I believe. But I mean, go ahead.
But my other point with that
sure,
is like
sure.
The other way he's under the gun already. Like, you're a dude named Rachel. I mean, already you're screwed already before you ever even start trying to like lobby your way to be the band leader.
So Lizzie Hale is going to be fulfilling a few dates that Eric will no longer be. Something tells me, I think this is going to be a good fit. I think when Hailstorm's not playing, I think they might work it out to where she is going to be the singer when Hailstorm is not playing, because Hailstorm's a bigger band. Sorry, Skid Row. As much as I'm more of a Skid Row fan than Hailstorm, facts are facts.
There's no arguing. I mean, but yeah. Here's the problem. Hailstorm tours like incessantly. Like they play something like 250 shows every year.
Yeah.
And then still find time to go into the studio and record albums. She doesn't have time for another project, considering that she's in a massive project that tours constantly, she's in with her brother and she's been in a relationship with the guitarist for like forever.
There you go.
You're not winning over that.
No, you're not.
Even if you are Skid Row.
I guess I'm just thinking positively, because I want to see, and this is the first time I've ever said I want to see Skid Row since Sebastian Bach left. I want to see Lizzie Hale with Skid Row. I would love to see that, because I think she'd crush it.
I agree. Like, but she has the voice for it. Absolutely.
Now, Johnny Salinger, who was the singer who took over after Sebastian Bach, was a good singer. Was he as good as Sebastian Bach? No, but he held that place down for a long time, like 15 years.
Right.
He eventually passed away because of alcoholism. Apparently Rachel Bolan will do that to you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I apologize to Rachel Bolan again.
But then they brought in a couple other guys and they last for like 5 minutes. They were for a cup of coffee. And now they got Lizzie Hale for another cup of coffee, obviously, because, I mean, your previous point, she's not going to get rid of Hailstorm to sing for Skid Row full time, but God, that's going to be a good matchup.
They're never going to be able to surpass that, though. Like, they're setting themselves up for failure, whether they realize it. And by the way, the closest, I don't know where Carterville, Illinois is, but I believe that is the closest venue that they're going to be playing at.
Yeah, and we've talked about my grouchy old man when it comes to concerts. It basically has to be within 10 miles from my house.
That's way down south. That's like within an hour or so of Paducah, Kentucky. Not a far drive from Evansville, though.
But here's the thing. Oh, I see where you're going with this. Why can't Skid Row get it together with Sebastian Bach? This would be the perfect time to bring him back. And everybody's just like, oh, well, they can't get along. Sebastian Bach wants to have his manager that he's had for years and years, and they have a problem with him. They haven't been in the same room that I know of for like 30 years. What tells me that they can't get along?
Well, I don't know, but it certainly seems like the issue isn't. I mean, the issue could be Bach. I mean, he is kind of a little bit of egomaniac.
He can be. He's spastic.
He is.
I've met the man. I've hung out with him. He is spastic. But I mean,
I can see that being an issue.
Yeah.
But he's not the one who has he's said that he would be open to rejoining them.
Yeah.
It's Snake and Rachel Bolan that keep saying no to it and still continue to say no to it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they're basically now reduced to playing places where the name of the venue ends in Bar and Grill.
Yeah. Or they're playing a festival where they're like fourth on the bill. Meanwhile, Sebastian Bach will play the Machine Shop and sell it out.
I don't think Skid Row could do that at this point in their careers.
Skid
Row without Sebastian Bach, I don't think could.
With Lizzie Hale.
With Lizzie Hale, I mean, Well, of course, that lineup could sell out arenas, yeah, man.
I think Scotty Hill, Rachel Bolin, and Snake need to understand. You need to understand because they released that "The Gang's All Here," which I've heard the track. The track is good. Eric sounds a lot like a modern day Sebastian Bach. It's a good track, but Sebastian Bach puts out his new track. It's so good. I can't remember the name of the track. It's fantastic. it makes the charts. I mean,
yeah, like he's got the name.
What Have I Got to Do or something? What Have I Got to Lose?
Ah, yeah, he's got the name. He's got the cachet still. Like he's still a well-known public figure in the general sense. Like from a pop culture standpoint, he does have somewhat more relevance.
Yes.
Than Dave Sabo or Rachel Bolin have in the last 30 years.
Correct.
Like he still actually gets occasional TV parts and things. Like he's in an episode of Trailer Park Boys. Like he's been
Gilmore Girls.
There's a couple things he's done. Like he still manages to keep himself in the public eye and keep.
He was
the public,
Phantom of the Opera.
He keeps people interested in what he's doing.
Yeah, but I mean, and the thought was because I listened to Eddie Trunk a lot. He's like, why wouldn't they get together for 1 year, one tour? And then if it doesn't work, just move on. Sign a contract. This is for 365 days. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You leave yourself with an out.
Right.
Have a little... I mean...
It's so weird to me, man, because, like, Sebastian Bach doesn't need this. Like, all the guys in that band, he needs it the least. Right. And he's the one who actually wants it to happen.
He wants it to happen. And those two... okay, so, like, back to the machine shop analogy. Sebastian Bach sold it out. Skid Row could sell it out. But the two of them together, they could sell out Pine Knob.
Right. There's enough people that would actually be excited about that.
Yeah.
Like, the only other way I could see, like, the band ever being able to sell out venues bigger than that or play venues bigger than that at this point would be to somehow convince Lizzie Hale to stick around, which has even less of a shot of happening. Yeah. Like these guys are basically just pissing away money, you know, keeping this frosty relationship with Baz going.
Yeah, because I know that they've been in the same room, like friendly social events.
Apparently him and Scotty Hill, I believe, are still actually on good terms.
Yeah, yeah, they are. And
it's the other two.
I don't get it. I mean, so Dan Hinsberger, a mutual friend of ours, he was talking to Sabo one time after a show, and he says, why not bring back Sebastian Bach? Because I'm sure they've been asked that question a million times. And he says, did you remember the VH1...
Behind the Music?
Nope. It was the Supergroup Limited... reality show.
Oh, yeah. It was like him and Ted Nugent and Scott Ian from Anthrax or something.
Evan from Biohazard and Jason Bonham.
Oh, that's right.
And they all got together and said, did you see that thing? That's why. Because Sebastian Bach was a big drinker and Evan from Biohazard beat the hell out of him. Because, I mean, Sebastian Bach, he's a spaz. And when he's drinking red wine and everything else, he's even more of a spaz.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, man. If Van Halen can get back together with David Lee Roth, if Steven Tyler and Joe Perry can get it together, if Peter and Ace can get back with Kiss, what do you think you are so high and mighty you can't get together with Sebastian Bach and bring the music to the fans the way they want to see it? Like for 1 year, and then you can go ahead and go pick somebody out of obscurity.
And go back to playing dive bars.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
It seems like a good solution.
Anyway,
for everybody.
Here's something off our second album. Oh, by the way, Table 34, your pizza's ready. Here's a piece of me.
I mean, that's where you're at this point, man. Like those are the biggest gigs. Like you're basically like, you might be a step below the county festival circuit.
Yeah, I saw.
I don't think that Eastern Michigan Fair would sniff them at this point.
No, they wouldn't. They won. I mean, they played Lapeer Days in 2007. I couldn't go because Drew decided that was the time he was going to Shanghai me for a bachelor party, which was a great time. It was Skid Row and Firehouse. I'm like, oh, two of my favorite bands. And Drew's like, come on, we're going drinking. All right, here, let's go. But yeah, Lapeer Days. I mean, and everybody's just like, yeah, they were okay. I miss Sebastian Bach.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter like how good the new singers are, like. A, everyone's still always going to compare them to Sebastian Bach, and yeah. also it doesn't help that no one knows who any of these other people are. Like
T.H. Hart or T.Z. Hart or whatever.
Oh, well, he is probably the closest one to like being known before that because he sang for Dragon Force, who yes. you mostly remember from that song from Guitar Hero that you can't play.
Hey, I can't play any song from Guitar Hero.
That's fair, but you can at least actually play guitar. Like
yeah.
Eric Grinewald was absolutely nobody before Skid Row hooked up with and still continued to be nobody.
Yeah.
Johnny Solinger hadn't done anything before Skid Row. Phil Verone, okay, I guess he was in Saigon Kick,
yeah.
which is certainly a step or two below Skid Row on the 80s glam metal relevancy list.
Like, they had one hit.
And no one knows who Tony Harnell even is. So, yeah. like, as far as, like...
Phil Verone was a drummer, by the way. So.
Oh, well...
He wasn't a singer.
Oh, shoot.
He was the drummer. But, yeah, point taken.
But, yeah, no one knows who any of these other people are. Like the guy from Dragon Force is, like, the most high-profile guy you had, and he hasn't been relevant in the better part of a decade, probably.
Right.
Like... Somehow, though, like, Sebastian Bach would immediately bring you back to relevance or, you know, like the Lizzie Hale thing. Like, if you were in an alternate universe where she wasn't in a band with her boyfriend and her brother, like, you could, you know, you would actually have a shot of getting people to pay attention to you again.
But, you know...
But you don't, other than that.
Back to the imaginary world, if she wasn't already... Let's say they plucked her out of obscurity.
Yeah.
Everybody, especially the cis males neckbeards, would be like, oh... Just another situation where they're Skid Row's woke. They want to have the woman in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, they would absolutely do that, and no one would still care, even though she'd probably put out like the best album that band ever released.
She's gonna crush it.
It would be. I honestly think that, but it's the fact that there is someone else with star power coming into, albeit temporarily, to front the thing that gets anybody interested. Like if they replaced Eric Cronwall or whatever his name is with, you know, some other random dude off the street,
yeah.
like who ends up going in there and killing it, nobody cares.
Yeah,
but because it's because hey, we all know who Lizzie Hale is.
Yeah,
like all right, we're actually excited for this. I would pay like legitimate actual dollars to go and see this concert.
Yeah, it's a very much like
you got me saying I would pay actual money to go see a hair metal band. I know. I'm as shocked as you are.
I'm speechless. I have nothing.
I'm stunned.
I have nothing more to say on this.
Like, that's the only way you can generate that kind of excitement at this point. Your interest in your band.
Yep. I mean, it's got Skid Row into the headlines. We're talking about them. We're actually spending time on Happy Hour, 15 minutes talking about Skid Row. I am loving today.
This is like the highlight of Adam's life, people. I don't think you realize. Like, I don't think he ever thought he'd get 16 minutes of hair metal talk out of me on an alternative rock station, but here we are.
Yeah.
Somehow in the year 2024.
There we go.
It is Happy Hour at your local alternative solid state radio. Foster the people at your local alternative solid state radio, and let me tell you, Adam is in his glory today.
I'm telling you, this is fantastic.
He got to do 15 minutes talking about Skid Row on this station, something yeah. that I don't think any of us ever thought would happen.
I never thought it would happen.
And now he gets to discuss his favorite topic in the world.
I mean, Sebastian Bach could be in the studio and Sean would be like, so your brother used to play hockey. Let's talk about that.
Pretty much. So, yeah. like, not only that, but you get to now talk about your favorite thing other than the 1997-98 Red Wings, and that is
Kiss. Kiss is making the news right now because it was announced this morning that they sold their catalog, their name, and likeness for over $300 million.
Wow. Okay, so I knew about the selling the music, but their name, image, and likeness?
Yep. Pop House Entertainment, the Sweden-based music investment firm behind ABBA's Voyage hologram show.
Oh,
here we go.
Yep. Oh, boy.
The terms of the deal were not officially announced. Bloomberg and Associated Press said it was worth upwards. I'm hearing $350 million. And I guess this is...
I can't believe they settled for that little.
So ABBA, this is the whole start of this. ABBA has a show over in London where... And it's there. It sounds like this is going to the Sphere in Vegas, where it's holograms, a live band, but holograms of the members of ABBA in their heyday. playing the songs of ABBA.
So is anyone in ABBA actually still alive?
Like, all four of them are.
But they just refuse to go tour? Or
well, yeah. What is that's been the big thing, because the guys want to go. The women are like, they know exactly what's going on. And nobody can deny that I'm right by this. The women know that they don't look like they did in the 70s. And they don't want to have that kind of, wow, they packed on the pounds. Whoa, Mamma Mia, jeez.
People are kind of bastards when it comes to that.
Dancing queen
sort of
or eating queen? Wow, my God. Because, I mean, every celebrity will tell you, it's almost like you signed a contract. I will look like this for the rest of my life. And it didn't happen. Even I, when I was like 12, 13 years old, MTV and VH1 started playing old episodes of The Monkees. And I became a fan of The Monkees. And so they came back in 86. And even I was like, oh, my God, who is that?
Oh, my God, these people actually age?
They don't look like they're... I mean, it was so superficial, but I was 12, 13 years old. Who cares?
Right.
They have spurned a lot of money to go out and tour and everything else. So they found a stupid medium, and I'm that's where I'm going with this, is holograms, and with a live band at least. And yeah, that's what has been going on in London. It looks like it's going to be making its way to the United States. Kiss.
Who would pay money for that though? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure
it's going. Well, here's the thing: is ABBA. You haven't been able to see a live show with ABBA since 1981. So there's a market right there for you. This whole Kiss Avatar thing. This is where it all links in with Kiss, because
yeah, they promoted that at the end of their last show.
Yep. Oh, the next thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, we thought you were going to bring up Ace and Peter and Bruce. And nope. We're just going to talk about, hey, look, cartoons of us. Yay. Good night, everybody. Really big F you to the crowd. And so that's what's going on. But the fact that they sold their likeness, their name, and everything to this company is just insane. I did not see that coming one bit.
You got to imagine it's a little bit of a slap in the face, dude, to Ace and Peter. Because, like, okay, so you're telling me Gene and Paul just sold our name, image, and likeness to this company, and we're not getting a cut of any of that. I'm sure they're not.
Well, I haven't heard any of that, but, I mean,
so
I think they took a buyout when they left the band to where they're like, yeah, they signed over their likeness back in the 80s.
But how much you want to bet that within a week here, Ace is going to be on Eddie Trunk's radio show announcing he's filing a lawsuit?
Yeah, oh, probably.
I would lay money on it.
I'm talking to my lawyer, and we're gonna have a lawsuit against Paul and Gene and Peter. And Peter hasn't done anything, but we're gonna file a lawsuit against him we gotta cover all bases. My lawyer, he's working the night shift at a bowling alley, so when he's done with that, we're gonna hash things out. Because I mean, it's my name.
When reached for comment, Paul only had this to say: "Go F yourself."
Exactly. And Gene was like, well, Paul said it was absolutely true. Ace, you're a junkie. Nobody likes you.
He says this while just sitting here counting like $1,000 bills.
He's doing snow angels and money. And
just, yeah. He's literally living like the Scrooge McDuck vault of money that he's just diving into and swimming around in.
So yeah, $350 million. It sounds like a lot, but if you consider the fact that George Lucas sold the rights to Star Wars, Lucasfilm, to Disney for $2.4 billion, now you're kind of like, wow, that's not as much as you would expect. Well, Motley Crue sold their catalog, I mean, it was in the six figures, but I mean, it was right around the same amount.
About as much as, like, it seems like that's about where the publishing rights seem to like drop off at. Is it about like 350 mil or so? Like, but with the comparison to Lucasfilm, like, keep in mind there you have like you could make like two Star Wars movies and just make your money back from that on the box office alone.
Yeah, you can, and they have. I guarantee you they have already.
Like, because did all the like, you're the bigger nerd than I am, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Did all of the Star Wars movies, the three sequels, happen after he sold Lucasfilm?
Yeah, that happened in October of 2012.
So
and,
yeah.
Yeah. So then you have you had episode 7, 8, 9, you had Solo and Rogue One, then you had The Mandalorian. I mean, they've made their money.
More than made their money back, and it didn't take them long to do it. How long do you really think it's going to take to make back, like, acquiring, like, the publishing rights to a bunch of my, like, there's only so many commercials and movies you can license Kickstart My Heart to. Like, it's going to take you a lot longer.
There's Tom Selleck selling a reverse mortgage.
Like, it's going to take you a lot longer to recoup that investment is what I'm saying.
Especially because the people you're selling a reverse mortgage, those are the people who are going to recognize Motley Crue songs. You're not selling that to a 20, 30-year-old. maybe because they did watch the Dirt movie and everything else.
I guess
that's a thing. But
it's certainly possible.
I mean, but the whole thing with Kiss and their likeness, I mean, it's just... I don't get it. I mean, I guess they probably... Hey, like, you want to do this Avatar thing? You want to still continue to make a paycheck? You're gonna have to sign over the likeness and everything else, and they played ball. I mean, Kiss blinked and signed it over to them, and now the Kiss name belongs to a bunch of Swedish people.
Well, I mean, they also figure, like, how long do they really have left? They're all in their 70s at this point. Like,
they're all in good health. I mean, they could make it till 90, 95.
I mean, 100. this will more than fund, like, the rest of their days and make sure that Gene's kids never have to work a day in their lives.
No. And it makes sense.
I mean, and would you really trust the kids to take on the Kiss licensing and handle that whole operation?
I don't think Nick and Sophie from Gene's side, they want much to do with it. Evan,
like, he gets one DUI and has to, like, sell off half the catalog to...
That's a hell of a DUI. Would he take on a whole ocean liner?
He's got to sell off, like, one of the songs to pay for a good lawyer to get him out of that.
Nick Simmons was driving at 100 miles an hour on the Santa Cruz Boulevard, hit a ramp GTA style, crashed into an ocean liner, 7,000 people dead.
He blew, like, a .3. He probably shouldn't even be alive right now.
There goes a Kiss license. But I mean, like,
now just to buy, and then to buy the replace the Ferrari or whatever they just wrecked. Now he's gonna have to sell off all the songs off of Destroyer.
Yeah, right. But Evan Stanley, I mean, he has Paul's kid. He has his own gig right now. I mean, now that Kiss is no longer around, and they can't open up for him. I don't know how long they're gonna go. But
right,
I mean, they all have their own thing going. So I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, unfortunately, it means we're definitely going to end up seeing that damn Avatar show, because I don't know how else they're going to recoup their money on it.
I don't know if I'm going to spend one dime on that.
I wouldn't.
Because here, I've had a problem with, like, these big bands going out there and using backtracking, because Kiss started doing that using, like, fake vocals and everything else, and I get it, because Paul Stanley, he starts out the tour doing great, and then by the time I see him when he rolls into Michigan, his voice is hamburger, so they've been using some backtracking. I can be like, oh, I can grip my teeth. I'm like, all right, we can do that.
To be fair, you also weren't getting Kiss on record for a lot. I mean, how long was basically Anton Figg playing all of Peter Criss's parts?
That's
on like three or four different albums.
Point taken. But when
I saw, it's not real.
But when I saw them on the Psycho Circus, original band members, they were all playing. But then towards the end there, they started doing vocals, and there was keyboards off the side. I can get that. But now they're trying to tell me, Adam, hey, we want you to spend the same money to come in to see the show, but everything's pre-recorded, even the band. Because at least at some point I could be like, all right, yeah, pre-recorded, or any band, pre-recorded, but I'm still
in the same room.
In room with them. We're still having a moment. It's a live music moment. Let's have fun. Now it's just like, hey, here's a video of us. Keep shelling out that money. Pay for parking. Beers are still $15.
Yeah. What did I pay? Yeah, what did I just spend $250 on pavilion seats for? Someone remind me.
Somebody explain to me what the heck I just did. Because, yeah, I don't get it.
I don't either. Like, when the hologram thing first started coming around and bands were doing that, like, was it? They brought Tupac back from the dead for Coachella or whatever.
But that was cool. It was the first time it ever happened. And it was Coachella. There was a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah. And we quickly realized just what potential this had to just be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, promoters and musicians alike have gone out of their way to prove just how right we were about that.
Yep. Yep. It's going to crash and burn. And I'm not going to be a part of it. I don't want to be part of the crash or burn or any kind of success. So, Kiss, I love you very much, but I am resigning my post in the Kiss Army.
Wow. You heard that live on the air, folks. I can't believe you just said that.
I would like to. I mean, I still have my good times. I've got all my albums, CDs, a couple of cassettes running around here.
He's going to be buried in a Kiss coffin, folks.
Can you afford a Kiss coffin? I can't afford a Kiss coffin.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what kind of life insurance policy Dorothy has on you. She's probably getting like $1 million when you croak. Just
cremate me and put me in like a Kiss Pez dispenser. I don't care.
I don't know. I don't know with your alcohol content if we can cremate you, Adam.
Oh, yeah, you can. I mean, the fire will last for 3 days, but I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, like, you might just take out the entire funeral home that way, man.
When that fire gets to the liver, you better hit high ground, boy. Get behind something lead. That looks like Oppenheimer. Anyway,
it is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, your local alternative Solid State Radio, as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to an hour of local original, whatever the hell it is that Adam does every weeknight.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing at all.
It's an hour of dead silence.
Just the way you like it, your local alternative Solid State Radio. We go ahead and just shut off all the computers, and everything. I almost said the transmitter, like we have one of like we can afford one of those at Solid State Radio. No, local original music. It's what we do. It's what Adam does, and it's what Sessions is going to do coming up next, a full hour of the best music that Michigan has to offer. In the meantime, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3, give or take. See ya!